Last Sunday, as a woman was leaving church, she looked at me with a big smile and she said, "Well, Father, the church didn't fall in." And I smiled back at her and gave her a big hug and I said, "No, it didn't. And welcome back." You know, I'd heard those words before. As individuals had been away from church for quite some time and come back in, that first time they said, "Well, it didn't fall in. It's still standing." You know, I knew a little bit about what this particular woman was going through. I knew some of her health issues that she'd been having over the past few years. I knew that her relationship with her husband of just 2 years was ending and she was getting divorced. You know, whether it was that she moved or God moved, I'm not quite sure. But what I do know is that she had the strength earlier in the week to pick up her phone and send me a text and simply say, "What time are masses on Sunday?" I text her back and told her, and she was here. In many ways, what happened in her life was that she was raised up. She was able to pick up some of the weight, some of the rocks of her lives, and move it forward and be able to say, "You know what, God, I know you love me, and I'm going to come and express my love for you on Sunday." You know, oftentimes in our faith, when we feel like God is the furthest from us, we are certainly weighed down. Throughout these days of Lent, throughout these Sundays of Lent, we're preaching a message series entitled "Weighed Down." Looking at the rocks, the pebbles, the stones of our life that are weighing us down. And whenever we feel weighed down, we feel as well that God's away from us. And it's hard when we're weighed down to do things like to pray. Like to feel like I've got the power, the strength, even to be able to come to church and celebrate God. You know, when we feel like we're weighed down, we might feel like we want to stay in the back of the room or in the side corners of the room where maybe God can't see me. We feel like we're weighed down. We don't feel like we have the power to be able to smile or lift our hands to God in prayer, to lift our voices to God in worship. But God has the power to reach into our lives and lift us up. God has the power to reach into our lives and take us to a new place. You know, often in faith, when faith is challenged, we do feel weighed down with it all. But faith is not something that easily happens overnight. Faith is a process. You know, faith is something that we come to. Faith is not a destination. It's not going from here to Chicago. It's more like a journey going from here to Knoxville. You know, the windy, secularious road, the valleys and the hills and the mountains that we experience as we come to faith. You know, often in our life, we live in a culture of immediacy. You know, we're an immediate culture. We have a microwave oven. We put a cup of cold water in it, and within seconds, it's hot. You know, we've got a Keurig coffee pot today that we can put our little pot in and press the top down, and immediately we've got a nice cup of hot coffee. You know, we've got Amazon Prime, where we can get on our computer in the evening, order what it is that we want, and the next day it's at our door. You know, we got instant messaging where we can send a message to somebody and instantly another person gets our message. You know, we want it hot, we want it fast, and we want it now. But faith doesn't always happen that way. Faith takes time. Developing our faith and our relationship with God happens over time. It doesn't always happen immediately. We see the development of faith in the woman of Samaria as she comes to the well at Sychar. She comes why? Because she's thirsty. She comes with her water jar. And her hope is to attach her water jar to a rope and lower it down in the well and get herself something to drink. But what she does there is she encounters Jesus. And Jesus, who wants to attach his water jar or his rope to her and lower her down into his well so that she can drink fully of salvation. We see the stirring of faith within her. At first, she doesn't know who Jesus is. How do we know that? We know it because she calls him Sir. Sir, how are you going to get this water? You don't even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. But we see her faith develop even further as Jesus says, go call your husband. And she responds, I don't have a husband. And Jesus sees right through it all as he says, you're right. You don't have a husband. And you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she says, what? You're a prophet. See her waking up to faith? See her waking up to Jesus? See how Jesus has tied his rope to her and is lowering her down? And it's at that point that she comes even to deeper faith as she says, as he says to her, the truth of God is coming into the world. And she says, I know the truth is coming. It's going to be the Christ. The Messiah is coming into the world and he will tell us everything. And then Jesus says, bam, I got you. As he has been able to lower her deep down into the well of his life, and she says to him, you are the Messiah. And she fully comes to see in this process of faith and development truly who Jesus is. You know, as Catholics, somehow we've gotten the message. We've gotten the message that if we don't dot all of our I's and all of our T's when it comes to faith, that we're not good Catholics. That we're not good Christians. And because of that message, what's happened over time is that we can get further and further away from God. Proverbs 24:16 says that a man falls seven times and still rises to new life. Nelson Mandela says that I'm not a saint unless a saint is one who is a sinner and keeps on trying. And St. Catherine of Siena says that a Christian is one who falls and gets up. Falls and gets up. Falls and gets up. What I want to encourage us to do this week is get up. If you're weighed down with something, if there's a rock in your life, if there's some boulder that you're weighed down with, get up. Get up. Let Jesus help to use that rope that he attached to the woman at the well and pull you up. Let him help you to raise you up to new life. And our church gives us so many great tools to help pull us up, to help raise us up to new life. One of the most important tools the church gives us is the Eucharist. Today, what I want to encourage us to do is you come forward to receive the Eucharist, receive it with greater reverence. You know, sometimes we have to do action to be raised up to new life. The action of coming forward, receiving the Eucharist, the reverent bow that we give in the presence of Jesus Christ helps to raise us up. Use the sacrament of reconciliation this week to help raise you up. Sometimes to get something, we got to do something to be raised up. This week we have the sacrament of reconciliation with our communal penance service. There will be several priests here on Wednesday night to help us to celebrate God's love in the sacraments at 6 o'clock. Take some time to examine your conscience this week and be raised up. Be brought up to new life with Jesus Christ. Another way that we can be raised up to new life is go back to your little black book that we gave out on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. Reread one of the days that we've already read and be raised up. Be raised up by looking at your Bible. Go to your Bible and find there whatever it is that's weighing you down. And share in God's glory and God's love in your life through being raised up to new life. You know, I'm not soon going to forget the woman who came into the church doors last Sunday and, as going out of church, said, "Well, the church didn't fall in." It didn't. Instead, what she did was raise it up. May we raise the church up too, as we stand up and keep walking with Jesus.